Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, beloved ones. Welcome to the Holistic Ministry Show. I am Minister James Browning, and I am a spiritual warrior. And I'm here on planet Earth right now to start a spiritual revolution. In case you were not aware, we have been in the midst of a spiritual warfare for some time now. Okay? So, let us get ready for today's show. I know it has been quite a challenging week for some of you, and we're going to move forward now to make this a better way. And so let's go and let's move forward so we can do what we need to do to become stronger and better in everything we do. And hopefully these shows will strengthen us and make us stronger and to be able to go forth and in the now and in the future. We have to live in the now, but we also have to be concerned about the future. And we need all the energy we need to be able to go forward. So it is time that we step this up, and we're going to go into prayer because there's never enough prayer on the universe. We need more of it, especially with what's going on here, especially in the United States. And it's going to make a big difference. So I need more spiritual people, more prayer warriors to step up and do what they need to do in order to make life much better for everybody on the planet. So let's get started. Beloved, mighty I Am presence, I give praise and thanks this day for you have given us another day of life. And I am just so grateful that you are allowing us to be able to come together again on another wonderful Sunday evening. I just am so grateful that you're allowing the show to flow and allowing everything to go. So God, I ask you to give special blessings for all of my listeners out there. Wrap them each in a white light of protection. Protect them from any seen and unseen dangers that they may encounter, and that their lives will become more productive in every way, and that they will learn to have and learn to make wise decisions about their life and to do what we need to do. Because we know, God, that each decision that we make can make a difference in our lives. So we ask you, God, to give us the intelligence and the intellect to be able to make wise decisions about what we do. And so we can go forth knowing that all is well. We know that you are the source of all there is. So we say thank you. This beloved day, I like to call in all of the ascended hosts and ascended masters who are listening or who are involved in this process, in this program. Most of all, I call upon the cosmic Christ to come in and to allow it to be and to teach and to allow you to flow through me and allow me to be able to give and to share a message that will be inspiring, uplifting, and invigorating to people who are listening. So I ask you, beloved, might I am free, all of you and none of me, come through and give me the words to say, give me the ideas to share, and allow me to be able to bring forth something that would be inspiring and message for all those who are listening. I know everything is in divine order, so everyone who is on the line are the people who are meant to be there. And everyone who is listening on the computer, I know that you are there, and I know that we are going to be able to have a great show today because it's going to be a very, very powerful show. So thank you for tuning in, and I'm just so grateful that you're there. I just want to thank you, beloved one. Thank you, God, for this day, and thank you for all of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, in the Holy Spiritual Bible, it says that we should pray without ceasing, and I have to agree with that in this day and time. But I also want to share with you that most of us are praying every day because you know what? Every word is a prayer. And so every thought that you're having, you're creating a prayer for yourself, and you're creating a condition for yourself. So I'm asking you to continually to move forth and do what you need to do in order to bring forth that energy you need to do to bring yourself into a higher state of consciousness. Okay? So I ask you to continue to move that. And I see that I made a slight mistake today. I forgot to get my power pack for my computer, and I'm anticipating that to be taken care of. So if I have to drop out for just 1 second, I want you to all just to be patient with me. I need to get my power source because I don't want to lose any of you. and I need to get that. So I want you to just sort of hang in there for a second and let me plug up to make sure that I can get this message to you, because this is really very, very important that I'm able to bring it to you and to be able to do it. Because today I've been really busy today, guys, working on doing the research and working on doing this show. It really took a lot of energy for me to get this done, because I had to do a lot of research and I had to look into a lot of things. So I was moving kind of slow today and getting everything set up. So sometimes we have those little moments that we have to make sure that everything is taken care of. But all is well and all is going to be well. So I know the Spirit is going to do what it needs to do in order for us to move forward and complete the show. So we just thank you for allowing that to happen. So like I said, if I need to take a little slight pause, if you get a little dead spot for a minute, you know what's going on. I need to run out and get my power pack for my computer. Okay? So this evening, I want to thank you again all for joining in and for helping me to get this show done. I appreciate it so much, and I thank you for participating with me in the show. And I know that without you in the audience, there is no show. So my state of gratitude is beyond what you may understand. I am so, so grateful that you are here with me today and that you've been joining me every Sunday that I've been on the air. I've been getting great participation, and people have been responding and saying that they're getting something from the show, which is most important to me, because you know what? I don't do this show just for the satisfaction of hearing myself talking. I do the show because I want to be able to bring a message, and I want to be able to build a spiritual community on the line. I want to be able to have a spiritual community where we can be able to come in the comfort of our homes and not having to go outside, because I am well aware that there are a lot of people that don't go to a physical church building, but they still want to hear a message, and they want to be able to do that in the comfort of their home. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to do this show, just for that purpose, that I can be able to touch bases with people who do not want to have to go out of their home. And besides, right now, on the east end of the country, the weather is pretty challenging. And so some of us, even if we were going into a physical building, wouldn't be doing it right now because of the weather conditions, okay? So hopefully we'll be able to satisfy your spiritual needs, okay? Now, for all of you who tuned in last week, I do want to apologize because I did not do a show. And I sent out some messages, and I faced it on Facebook, sent out emails and a couple other things, but some people didn't get it, so I do apologize for that. But whenever I'm not able to be on the air, I want you to realize that there are plenty of shows archived. There's probably about 40 of them that's archived there. And so please take time to listen to one of the shows. I know that you haven't heard all of them, so just scroll through and find something that may catch your attention and catch your mind. And hopefully that you will be inspired, even if I'm not live, because at one point I was live, okay? So hopefully you will do that. And yes, now if any of you missed the show week before last, which was happiness, health, and prosperity, I tell you what, you need to go back and check that show out. I am still getting calls today. People call me and say, man, that show was awesome. I got so much out of that. So please do yourself a favor to go back and listen to that, because and not only that, my shows in some kind of way sort of run together and sort of bring from one show to another. I try to flow and keep the subject kind of, you know, going in the same direction. So if you missed last week, go back. And the beautiful thing about the shows being archived is that you can go in and check them out. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, even if I'm reading a book or listening to a tape or listening to a CD or something, I miss some things. And I'm like amazed when I go back in and listen or reread the book and find out that, man, how did I miss that? Where did that come from? I didn't see that last time. So even if you go back and listen, you're going to hear something you didn't hear the last time. So the shows are there. They are ready to for your listening pleasure. At any time, you can share with your friends or family. So Even, today's show will be archived probably about 30 minutes from the time I get off the air. So, but anyway, I want to get started with today's show because this is a show that's really been quite inspiring to me to be able to even bring it to you. And the title of this show is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And let me just do a disclaimer here for you, beloved ones. For some of you, this show is going to be kind of a shock. And you, some of the things that you're going to hear me speak of are going to be things that are not in your belief system and you were not taught as a child, especially if you was raised up in a traditional church environment. So that's okay. I understand. So, but I just want you to understand that this is going to be some things that you may not have heard before. But it's okay to have an open mind. If you keep your mind open and listen, the possibility you just may learn something, okay? This show is going to be based on supernatural and metaphysical teachings of Jesus Christ, okay? This is not basic stuff now. This is the stuff we're going to dive into the deep end of the pool today, okay? We're getting into 9 or 10 feet of water. So yeah, I want you to buckle your seats up, put your helmets on, do what you need to do in order to be able to hang in here with me for this show. Also, get you some paper and a pencil because there's some things I'm going to share with you and some things you might want to write down that you can, ask me about or challenge me about or whatever. And I have no problem with that because I want you to be able to do that. Although I bring this show as sort of a lecture, a sermon, a class. This is my style, the way I like to be able to present things. I like kind of like a class, so I guess there's a teacher in me there somewhere, and there's a preacher in me too somewhere. So you may hear me get a little excited because that is a little of that ministry thing going on inside of me. I mean, after all, I am a minister, so that's what you would expect me to be able to do that. You know what? I had to, even myself today, I had to wrap my head around this subject, and it was challenging to me. I spent a lot of time this week reading and getting into this because this is just not a walk in the park type of subject. This is something that you really need to do it, and I like to be able to bring you stuff based on truth and facts. I don't just, I believe that spirit flows and spirit's in, but I think that God gave us a mind to be able to put things together. So some of the things I just open myself up to say, Spirit, flow through me and allow it to be. And then there's time I go in and do the research that I need to do in order to be able to give you truth and facts, because not only do I want you to be able to listen, but I want you to be able to go back and follow up and use your own sources to make sure that what I'm telling you is what I'm speaking of. Okay, don't take my word for it. Hey, go and do your own research. Don't take nobody's word for anything that comes down to knowledge. You go back and do your own research to make sure that you are getting the information that you need to do. So, and believe me, there was a couple of times this week where I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do this. This is just a little bit challenging. But you know what? Spirit would not let me off the hook. Every time I thought about not doing it, Spirit said, oh, yeah, you're going to do this show. You're going to bring this teaching one way or another. So here I am, okay? You know, the lesson I'm talking about today is I have read several books over the years, and probably a lot of you have done that also, about Jesus' life. Several books, The Yogi of Jesus, Occult Jesus, and the Bible, the Holy Bible, and several other books I've read over there. And a lot of them have some similarities. But then there's some of them that the information is totally different from one book to another. And I'm saying to myself, what in the world is going on here? Because this is so different from one person interpreting another. So thank God, God is in his infinite power and infinite strength has presented me with some knowledge that I was very fortunate to be able to come about the teachings of Jesus that resonates with me, okay? It resonates with me, and it made me realize, and it was bits and parts of the things I had heard during the other book kind of like put the whole story together for me that made so much sense that it was just an interesting to come to that conclusion. And so when Spirit brings this knowledge to me about the Avatar, that is known as the Cosmos Christ. He was an avatar. He came here with special gifts and special talents. So although the gifts and talents that he said he had, we have them too. But he came in on a different kind of vibe than most of us are here on, you know. And the title, you heard the title referred as Jesus Christ. Now, this is just a title. This wasn't Jesus' name. That wasn't what we know, what he was named. We're going to share about what his name is in a few minutes. But this teaching came to be by Saint Anna, who is Jesus Christ's grandmother. And I didn't hear some of you said, Jesus Christ's grandmother? I ain't never heard of her. What you mean he had a grandmother? Yeah, guess what? He had a grandmother just like you got a grandmother. Or you had a grandmother. Jesus had a grandmother too. Okay, after all, his mother was a person that was born from her mother, and so she was human, so that was his mother's mother is his grandmother. So, yes, that's the deal. And Grandma, I'm going to tell you guys, Grandma Anna, her teaching and her knowledge is nothing but the truth. I mean, when she not only talks about her grandson, but she talks about other things that are so profound and so interesting. Matter of fact, that's why I'm going to read now. I want you to have your paper because I want to give you the name of the book, because if you don't have any other book in your library and you are a true metaphysical and spiritual student and you want to learn and know about spiritual things and not only teaching about Jesus per se, about all the other archangels and other beings in the universe who make things happen, she's the one that can do that. Now, Grandma Anna was occurred about May the 23rd, 596 B.C. And when I said merge occurred, I'm not going to get too deep. I'm not going to get deep in that because that can take me to a whole different deal. She didn't come into the planet normally like a lot of us did. She came in through another physical being that was ready to leave this body, and they did an exchange. Okay, but that's a whole other show, and it would take up too much time to even go in and try to explain what really happened there. But it was truly a special process that took place. So, but at the end of the show, I'm going to give you some things where you can do your own research so you can get into it yourself and see what it is that you really want to do. By the way, the term Jesus Christ was never used by his family members, his friends, of the spiritual community and during his entire life. No one never called him Jesus Christ in his family, his friends, and in the spiritual community that he worshiped in. Now, because it's going to be shocking to some of you too, Jesus' real name was Yahshua ben Joseph. Let me repeat that to you. Yahshua ben Joseph is Jesus' real name, okay? And how many of you out there knew that? Yeah, okay, I see the hand. All right, yeah, right, sure you know. I got it, yeah, you know. Okay, well, for a lot of people, that's new, different news. Now, Grandma Anna was well over 600 years old. Grandma Anna was over 600 years old. She was a really, really an enlightened soul. She taught and initiated well over thousands of souls into the high consciousness. She was there, and she was special, and she taught for years and years and years and years. And she was able to do some things that was really amazing. She tapped into her ability to regenerate her cells. Because you can imagine that at 600 years old and older, there was a lot of people that came through her life that got old and changed and went, and she was still around. So she learned how to tap into her soul as an evolved soul. And I mean, when I said that she was an evolved soul, beloved ones, I'm telling you with all my heart and soul, this lady was one of the most evolved souls I had ever read about or ever have any information about. She was truly, truly, truly evolved. And she was something else. She would she'd make you proud when you read it, and you would become very attached to the thing you said, if you understand. You know, I understand this teaching is not for everybody, and so it's for some people who's going to get it, and some people won't get it, and that's okay, because if you stick around and you keep doing, you keep listening, you're going to eventually get into it, because we all are shifting, regardless of where you're at right now, you are shifting into a higher dimension and becoming a higher being. So So it's okay if you don't get it right now. You're going to eventually get it if you stay on the planet long enough. And maybe you may have to come back and do it another time, but you're eventually going to go down this road. So, and now, Grandma Anna spent, and I almost feel like she's my grandmother, for real. I just feel a kinship with her that's quite different. After I lost my own grandmother, it's been, you know, because ain't nothing like grandma's love. I don't know about none of you, nobody else, but whoever have experienced the love of grandma, you received the real deal, because grandma's a special kind of being. Mamas are good, daddies are good, but ain't nothing like grandma. And that's just a fact. You know, they nurture you, take care of you, make sure you're okay. But anyway, so I'm feeling that connection with Grandma Anna. Grandma Anna spent a lot of her lifetime in Egypt and in India. She traveled extensively. She spent a lot of time. And check this out. Grandma Anna even spent some time with the Agrarians. And for a lot of you, I know this word Agrarian is a totally different word, because guess what? Agrarians are a advanced civilization that live in the planet of the Earth. Whoa, Milton, what you talking about, people in the planet of the Earth? Yes, there are spiritually highly elevated beings that live in the center of the Earth. It has been a fact. It's been documented that it's supposed to be two ports of interest, one in the North Pole and one in the South Pole, where these beings are able to come and go. And not only that, other beings from other galaxies and other worlds have been able to visit them. So yes, this is real. Okay? It is real. And not only did Grandma do that, Grandma went to Venus, Palladium, and Sirion, to other planets, to be able to visit, because she had the ability to teleport and to bicate. And teleport means that she took her physical body with her. Bicate means that she just extended her spirit. It's sort of like the term of astral traveling. Of all of you who have heard the term astral traveling, that's what bicating is, like when your soul goes out into the universe. Matter of fact, many of you do this on a nightly basis. Maybe not every night, but many nights you do that, because your soul leaves your body and go into a higher realm to go to school, to learn, to be able to become become, you know, who you are and what you are. You learn. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you know something in the morning that you didn't know last night. Well, guess how I got there? That's because you went to school last night. You had class. And so that's good thing for that to happen. So now, Grandma Anna had a daughter by the name of Mary Ann. And Mary Ann also was very special. Okay? Mary Ann was conceived by the light. The light conception, in other words, she was impregnated through spiritual beings, and the DNA was planted into her womb. Okay? So that's she came in the same way Jesus did. So this, she is Jesus' mother, and she came in. Yes, she came in the same as Joshua. Mary Ann was born in 20 BC, and her mother, and she, like I said, she was the mother of Joshua. Now, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm getting ready to tell you now, because this is really important. Whether you believe in reincarnation or not, the fact is that it exists and it is true. So, you know, you can have your own concepts about it. That's okay. I'm not here to try to reconvince anybody about doing anything, and because I know what the deal is, okay, when it comes down to that particular thing. Okay? Mary Ann was a reincarnated soul by the name of Hismerian. Now, she was a spiritual being that was on the same level as Saint Anna. She lived there. She and Saint Anna were together in the many temples. They worked together, and she had royal Egyptian blood. She was from the royal Egyptian family, and they were together in many different types of temples and teachings. And matter of fact, she was a direct descendant in Anna's family, and she was very, very special. Okay, so this Hishmer was her name, and she was Mary reincarnated, and she Hishmer made her ascension without the so-called thing we call death. Okay, she didn't go through that physical death process. She just went into the temples and whatsoever, and went on and just walked through the veil and just kept on going into the next dimension. She made her attention without even having to go through that process. And the reason that she left the planet Earth was she had to go to prepare herself to bring back the avatar Jesus. So she left to go and bring back Jesus, knowing Jesus was going to be born through her soul. So she left to go to prepare herself. Said she even met with the soul of Jesus, with the spirit of Jesus, while she was there. And they agreed of the things that would happen when she came back. Now, when she came back, she came back through a virgin birth of Mary through her Grandma Anna. So her and Grandma Anna had a real tie. Her and Grandma Anna were together in the temple, and her and Grandma were different relatives. Now she's Grandma's daughter. Now isn't that special? Isn't that special? Yeah. Now you know that Mary herself had to be something special because she brought an avatar back to the planet. She brought a highly advanced being on the planet. And you believe me, your physical and your mental and your spiritual vibe has to be ordered in order to be able to do this kind of thing. Mary Ann, like her mother, liked to travel. She went to the temples in Egypt and India, and she took all kinds of initiations because she was special too, and she was really on top of it. I mean, special lady. And at that time, what was going on in India and what was going on in Africa was where the spiritual growth was going on. Those were the two places at the time where there was more spiritual energy going on. Now, I'm not leaving off China because there was a lot of stuff going on there too, but India and Africa really had things going on. So her mother and her grandmother and Miriam did some really initiations in Egypt. They went into some of the really deep temples and studied and did some magnificent, wonderful things that's just like, you know, mind-boggling. So let's talk about Joseph, because Joseph was special as well. Joseph was special as well. He was a very powerful being, and he studied in the community with all the other highly enlightened beings. And Joseph was also, when Mary was impregnated with the white light, with the light conception of Jesus, Joseph was right there. They wanted him to see what was going on, because they didn't want to put Mary in a situation where there was no hanky panky. All of a sudden, she come home and tell him, "I got a baby, and you ain't the daddy." That's a whole nother ball game going on there, guys. You know, that could be not so good of a situation. But anyway, he was there, and he saw the whole thing, and he totally, 100% agreed with what was happening. He knew that it was important that it happened, and that Mary had this special gift, and she was going to be bringing in the new highly elevated cosmic Christ. And so that was beautiful that was there. And when that took place, there were four archangels there. There were other spiritual enlightened ascended masters there. When that concept took place, when that was a ceremony, an initiation for that light to initiate that seed inside of Mary, and it was beautiful that this took place. And Joseph was witnesses of the whole deal, because Joseph really played a most important part in Jesus' life. By the way, Joseph is now Saint Germain. If you just let you know how advanced Joseph was, you know, he ended up being who Saint Germain. So that tells you that he had a very critical part here on planet Earth that he played as well, a very spiritual high place. Now, Joseph is the one who really took Jesus by the hand and in a great respect, and took him on trips and took him into different departments of the world and into different places and introduced him to different people. He took him all over India and Egypt and everywhere and showed him and taught him and gave him a lot of information. He also took him to see Babaji. Okay, Now, if you want to talk about another special being that came on the planet, Babaji is one of the most involved, was most one of the involved yogis of ever existed. Okay, and if you want to do yourself a favor, take some time, do some research on Babaji. He was a Purananji, personal guru and teacher. And Jesus spent at least a year or more at his ashram. And he taught him some things beyond you and I and most people understanding. Okay? So I want you to do some research on Babaji. That will help you to understand what's going on. I would say Babaji is like this, like the young brothers and sisters in the hood may say, Babaji was bad to the bone. You know, bad to the bone, which means nothing but the truth. He was nothing but the truth. I'm telling you, he was quite all there with everything he had to bring forth. As a matter of fact, Joseph, the father of Jesus, made his ascension from Babaji's ashram on one of the trips they made. After he brought him there and they spent time together, I think that time they spent a couple months, he came back, and Joseph decided to make his ascension, and he wanted to do it in a place where it was the most holy place for him. He ascended from Babaji's ashram. Okay, so that says that was, and from what my reading understand, that was a sight to be behold, because the sky opened and the angels and the higher elements and higher beings were there to greet him and to bring him into their arms and fold when that happened. So that was great. Now, I shared with you about these people who were special with Jesus because I want you to understand who some of the key players were in Joshua's life. Now, you're going to hear me sometimes say Joshua. You may hear me say Jesus. But, hey, it's the same person, okay? So I just may sometimes flip around and use the terminology in a different kind of way, okay? I want you to understand that these special beings who was in his life had a great influence on him, especially when he was young. But also as he grew up, they had influence on that. Now, Joshua was well advanced of most people, kids his age. He was really at a whole nother level of thinking when it comes down to being where we had to be. He was quite phenomenal when it comes down to that. So let's now go into a little bit more about Joshua ben Joseph and learn a little bit more about Joshua ben Joseph himself. Joshua ben Joseph was born in April 4 B.C. Okay, brothers and sisters, I didn't say December the 25th. I said April 4 B.C. Okay, so now where this December 25th deal came from, that's a whole bunch of stuff. Okay, and that was actually a celebration of St. Nicholas, which was a pagan holiday. And so, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting into that because that can get you bogged down, and I don't want to go down that path. But you know what? Only thing I got to say about that is that, boy, we human beings can be so gullible. Oh, we can be so gullible. We can be so gullible. And what we do and how we are able to go forth into the understanding of what's going on around us. So, but that's what it is. So now you know that Jesus was born in April 4 B.C. And I already told you that Mary and Jesus was Joshua's parents, and his birthday was amazing itself. Because his birth process, because his uncle Luke, which is the same Luke that written in the New Testament, Luke wrote about Jesus in the New Testament. He's the one that gave his full story. And they say Luke's story is probably one of the most profound and most truth because Luke was there most of the time. And Luke was Jesus' uncle. He was his uncle. He was his blood uncle, okay? And he also was a doctor. Now, Luke was supposed to have made the delivery at the time that Jesus was born. But as things have it, he was not available. He was actually doing another delivery of another child that was born pretty close to the same proximity and time. So guess what? Grandma Anna did the delivery. Now, Grandma Anna says that, hey, this is the way it was supposed to be and this is how it was supposed to come. She touched him first, touched his head, looked at him, and did everything she needed to do to prepare him to be with his mom. Okay? So, you know you got it. Grandma Anna actually did the delivery. Luke was supposed to do it, but everything worked out the way it was supposed to be. And Grandma Anna said she had seen this in a vision. She knew in a vision that she was supposed to do this work. She was supposed to bring him into the world. Okay. Now, as many of you have heard, I'm not going to get into a lot of details around so much of all the stuff that happened to him in his birth in his younger years. You heard that the King Herod, who had heard about Jesus' birth, wanted to kill him. Because not only would kill him, but he wanted to kill all the little boys and that was born at that time, but he wasn't quite sure who was what, because he thought that the Messiah was coming, and he thought that this special little being that's coming to the planet was going to challenge him in his life process and take away from him in his actual process of what he's doing and take over his kingdom. So once that was declared, the Mary and Joseph found out about that, they had to make a move. So what they did, they picked up little baby Jesus and the rest of the children they had, and they made it into Egypt. Joseph, another Joseph, who was one of Anna's sons, was very wealthy and very rich, so he was able to put them on one of his ships and take them to Egypt into well-being, keeping with family and other members that was there. Now, Jesus took his first initiation when he was there. He went into the temple of Isis, Hathor, and Horus, okay? And that's where he took one of his first initiations. That was when he learned his first process about the reincarnation process, okay? He was taught that when he was there, and he had to be a wee lad when it was happening. So you got to understand, Jesus in the resurrection has been something that's been part of him from the time that he was a kid, okay? So he understood this, okay? Now, this was time that when he was 8 years old, they finally heard that the king had died, so they decided to return. They returned to Mount Sinai. And at that time, Jesus was given the passage, a rite of passage. You know, young Jewish boys at that time, and even other folks in other societies do rite of passage for their boys. You know, so Jesus was able to do the rite of passage process in the Essene order. In the Essene order. The initiation was for boys 12 and older. But as I explained to you, Jesus was so advanced that they was able to bring him into the process of doing this deal when he was like 8 years old, when all the other kids was much older than he was, but he was able to do this. Now, this was was the Jewish, wasn't the Jewish law. They didn't really want to do that and wanted to do that, but they knew that he was so advanced to do it. So let me just take a moment to explain to some of you, because some of this word, a scene, is totally new for you. You haven't heard about it. You don't know anything about it. So let me just tell you a little bit about it based on what I have, my limitless understanding of it. I don't, you know, I'm just on it. What I know is on it, you can put it on the tip of a needle head, okay? By wisdom and knowledge, there's so much of it out there. And I ain't claiming like I got it going on like that, okay? Never, never, never. But anyway, from my understanding of what I'm seeing about the Essene was a break off from the Jewish religion that we even know today. That they separated from the Jewish religion and became the Essene. Now, what made the Essene so special? The Essene were the people who were there that were into metaphysics and supernatural process at an early process. They are the ones who did most of the healing, the ones who grew the herbs, the ones who attend to people's spiritual needs, the ones who were the master astrologers, the ones who were deeply involved in the gifts and the knowledge of the things of the metaphysical understanding. And so this was the order in which Jesus was brought into. And that was the teachers, and that was the bringing up of what Jesus actually learned from these people, because the metaphysical group of people there, the Essenes, are the ones that his whole family was part of. And his grandmother was one of the chief initiatives in the Essene religion. She was the one who ran it and set up the libraries of the Essene religion. So Jesus' whole teaching, his whole family teaching, was around the Essene and its teaching, okay? And at that time, there was nothing about no Christianity or anything else going on that Jesus would have learned about other than the Essene religion. So let me just explain this to some of my beautiful and marvelous, wonderful Christian friends. Okay, the next time, or the time you unsee something about metaphysics or about a new age and you don't understand it and you have a tendency to want to like put it down, I want you to stop and think for a minute and say, wow, this was the teaching that Jesus learned, and this was what was going on. This is what Jesus knew. Because now, if I were you and I wanted to follow, if I'm going to follow the teachings of someone, I want to know what that person knows. I want to know what that person, what was in his thought process, what made him different than the other people that was around, and what was he learning. So Jesus was a metaphysician, and he dealt deeply in the supernatural realm, okay? And I'm talking about even from a kid, okay, guys? He was a supernatural. Jesus took up clay and molded it into a bird and blew breath in the clay bird's body, and it flew like an eagle. Okay? So that's supernatural. That's the thing that Jesus was about and the things that he did. He dealt with the supernatural kind of thing. Okay? And that was what Jesus did. So, and that was him. That was his process. So, now, and Jesus also learned a lot about the resurrection from his grandmother, who taught him quite a bit of things. Matter of fact, when he was about 12 years old, just before he got ready to leave to go on a voyage, his grandmother took him into one of the caves in Mount Cambridge, and taught him the process of the resurrection, where they actually put him inside of a tomb for 3 days. Okay, no water, no air, no nothing, and put him there and let him stay there, and it was able to take his body down, leave his physical body, go into the ether of the spiritual realm, and bring his body back. Okay, so yeah, that, again, we're showing another effort where Jesus was taught this process of resurrection during the whole process of his life. He was there. So now Jesus learned this process. So Jesus, at this time, Jesus, at 13 years old, decided to leave home and go on a journey, go on a pilgrimage. Now, you know, ain't very many parents going to let their 13-year-old go on around the world kind of deal. But they know that Jesus was so advanced that he could make the journey without the assistance of other people that he needed. But he did take some of his other brothers and cousins with him on the trips that he went to. They traveled in bands because, like I said, their uncle, who was rich, was the way that they were able to be able to get around and to be able to do the things they do and to go to all these different places because of what it is that they wanted to do and the teaching they wanted to be. So Jesus and his brothers and his cousins were taken by ships to a lot of these places in India and to Egypt and into China and different places because of their uncle's ability to be able to do it. Now, a lot of times, Joseph, Jesus' father, not the Joseph who was his uncle, but his father and his grandmother would journey with them to certain initiations. But these initiations, they came by teleporting or by locating their bodies, meaning that, you know, they either showed up, dematerialized their bodies, and showed up in the same place Jesus were, or they sent their extended spirit, came there spiritually, and allowed their spirits to be in the place where they done. But they traveled with him quite extensively when it comes down to him making his journeys, and they were able to be part of that, of him making those journeys to different places. Like I explained to you before about the word barcade, Barcade, there's a lot of you that do that too, and it's no really amazing thing, but they could do it at will. Most of us do it in our sleep, not of being aware that we are doing those kind of things, okay? Now, when Jesus was traveling for the many years, and I mean he was gone for many years, he would go out for 4 or 5 years at a time and travel. And he, all the time he was there, he was learning to, he was teaching as well as learning. He would go, they even have places there in India where there are temples there where they call him Esau. Esau came and taught there in these temples. And that was Jesus that came and taught. And Jesus also taught, learned from the yogis and the higher beings there in India and the Himalayas and all these places, okay? Now, I think Egypt was one of his better places where he had where some of the very most advanced temples and especially into the Great Pyramids, where he really took some took his great leap into his whole new process. Now, Jesus was being supported the whole time by the ascended masters and the archangels. Okay, the whole time they was with him. Whenever he had a need or want, the ascended angels would show up and bring that energy to him. The same energy that you and I have too. We can call upon those ascended beings and ascended hosts to be with us as well. Okay, Jesus had nothing special but on us when it comes down to assisting, getting the assist from the ascended masters. The ascended masters are the right hand of God. So if you pray to God, you can pray to an ascended master. And believe me, it's all one and the same. And they will be able to assist you and help you at all times. And that's what Jesus did. They walked with him and held his hand and was able to do just like they would do for you and I. Okay. Now, after going on one of those long expeditions, he finally returned to Mount Calvary, Carmel. Now, this is part of it that's going to probably get some of you a little like, uh-oh, here we go again. Jesus came back and he married his childhood sweetheart and playmate. Now, check this out. She was a distant cousin. Okay. Hey, it is what it is. But she was also, they grew up together. She was his friend. And a beautiful thing about it is that she was born as a light concept also. She was born a light concept also. She came into the earth realm just like Jesus came. It's almost like she came there to be his mate at a later time during his life. And the name of this beautiful, beloved spirit was Mary Magdalene. Yeah, and she was born of the light concept. She was born in 4 BC, the same year as Jesus was born, the same year that Joshua was born. Okay, now they got married. And guess what, beloved ones? They adopted 3 children. They didn't have any physical children of their own, but they did adopt 3 children. Mary and her family ran a home for women who were pregnant, but they didn't have fathers for their children. Okay? So, and they ran sort of an adoption agency. And so Jesus and Mary decided to take 3 of these special children. Okay? And they became their children. They raised them and they grew up with them and became part of their family forever and a day. And that was great. So, yes, Jesus was married. Now, even because back in that day, the Jewish man at his age was expected to be married. So, yes, he was married to Mary Magdalene, okay? And they adopted 3 children. So that is the deal on that. You can do your research and find it. Don't take my word for it. Hey, there's information about it out there all the time. So I know some of you may be saying, hey, this brother is really going over the edge now, boy. He's talking about some stuff that's really hanging out there. But I tell you what, if you hang on, there's more to come. Okay, so if you haven't logged off yet or hung up the phone, be prepared because there's more to come, okay? There's more to come. Now, Jesus, on one of his final trips, Jesus, and Mary went to the Great Pyramids in Egypt, where one of the most advanced one of the most advanced temples and most of the advanced places were. And they were there where they were. And in that place, they took not only Mary and Jesus go, but they took a whole another crew of people that later on became support cast in Jesus' ministry. They were there to help to be a support cast in his ministry. Okay? And so they came. And then while they were, Jesus and Mary and then the group was there, Jesus and Mary were separated from the other group of people. They went to one secretary class, but then Mary and Jesus were taken to another section. And there they was met by a group of archangels, ascended masters, and other highly being individuals and counselors of the light and light brother and sisterhood. Okay, they were there to be with them. And also, Saint Anna bivocated there. Okay, she came there in spirit. Okay, she came there in spirit. Now, and one of the major things was the initiation that took place at that particular time, because this is where Jesus came to get his mission. And so, in other words, to get his marching order from these elevated beings that were there with him. Okay? So, now, I'm going to share with you the instructions that the council of the brothers and sisterhood gave Jesus. This is what they said to him. They introduced him to the master plan for public demonstration of reincarnation and the ascension to humanity. The plan was to assist the very unconscious and stubborn people to know how they might overcome every fear. Because the greatest fear was the fear of death. So if they could overcome the fear of death, then they would be in another place. Also say he was told the complex and multidimensional would be undertaken with an indelible imprint that the resurrection and ascension principles in all life and all space. Other words, beloved ones, they was telling him that once he did his work, this would go on for eons. And people will remember the resurrection and the whole process. And guess what? We are still remembering it. And it's been thousands of years ago. So apparently it works. And apparently the process has been gone. That's why they said it would be embedded in the imprint in the human consciousness for eons. And so that's what we're dealing with. Along with also Jesus coming to show love and forgiveness. That is the reason that he was on the planet, beloved ones. I know, and I'm going to get back to that and explain a little bit more in detail, but let's roll on because of the sake of time here. Jesus and his group of people, they then left Egypt and the temples after they got their instructions. Everybody, because even the people that was not in the run with him were being instructed in another way, because they were going to be support cast and what it is that Jesus was going to do. So Jesus returned to Galilee, and it's like a 24 AD that he came back. And him and Mary made some other trips too, and one of them was to China. But he came back. And at this time, his cousin, John the Baptist, was beginning his sermon, his message, and his teaching. And John the Baptist was preparing the road for Jesus, and he kept telling him, hey, what I said to you, don't hold a water to that one which is coming that's going to give you a real lesson in life and living of Holy Spirit in the whole process of what it's going to be. So, as a matter of fact, John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus and at that particular time and allowed the Holy Spirit to flow through and around him. So John the Baptist was doing his work. And so Jesus at this time began to put together his team of disciples. Him and Mary put together a team of disciples that was going to do the work with them. These were going to be their work partners. And so they organized. This just wasn't willy-nilly, although most of the people who were disciples of Jesus and Mary were actually their family members. And they were all in the same circle. It was like they all came here to do the work surrounding, be supportive teams of Jesus. They were there to support him on every aspect. All of them knew each other. Most of them were his brothers, his cousins, close friends. They were all family. This was a real family kind of thing going on. Okay? Now this is going to blow your mind here. Now, you've heard that Jesus had 12 disciples, and I know that we've all heard that. Well, guess what, beloved ones? Jesus had 24 disciples to start off with, not just 12, 24 disciples. And guess what? 12 of them were men, and 12 of them were women. Okay, Mary Magdalene had a real input in Jesus' ministry, and she insisted that the feminine energy showed up there and that they'd be part of the whole process. So, Jesus had 12 disciples of men and 12 disciples who were women when he first started. But hold on now. Let me tell you something else that's going to be mind-blowing to you. The number of disciples grew to be 144. 144, there were direct disciples of Jesus. They were there to give him support and support him. Okay? So, now, they would have been doing the healing and the taking care of the sick and the lame. Okay? Now, the Jewish authorities became very insecure about what was going on and what was happening with Jesus. They were freaking out because he had started this ministry and was powerful, and people were getting healed, and people were going around telling people about, hey, this special person is here that can do these miracle works, and they was getting blown away because they thought that Jesus was going to be so powerful that they would lose their power and their life would be threatened, that they would lose their lifestyle. So they got really upset. So what they did, they said, we got to get rid of this guy named Jesus. We got to get rid of him. He's just causing too much problem and too much witchcraft. They went to Julius Caesar in Rome and lied on Jesus and told Julius Caesar that Jesus would have planned on overthrowing the Roman government and the Roman emperor, and that Julius Caesar had to have something done to him. So at this time, Julius Caesar took the word of these Jewish leaders who he had put in place and had them and told them, we're going to bring Jesus up on charges. Now, all these charges were trumped up charges, just like you see and happening in the world now. A lot of trumped up stuff going on. But these charges were trumped up and they were brought against beloved Jesus. And I want to tell you, beloved ones, now, Jesus, once he heard about that, he did not panic. He did not lose a sweat at all, because he knew that this was part of the grand plan. Okay, so what he did at this time, he knew what was getting ready to come down. He gathered all the disciples together, and he brought them together, and he shared a meal with them and explained to them that what was getting ready to happen. Many of them got upset, but he told them, hey, this is the purpose for my existence. And this is what it is. Each one of you have a part to play during the trial, the crucifixion, and even after. Now, the reason they crucified him, because that was the way to bring fear into the other people. Crucifixion was a way to bring fear into people, and that's why they did him and the way they did him. But believe me, beloved Jesus knew what the deal was. He knew that the mission was done. So he brought them all together and told them, hey, now is the time. Get in position. Go do what you need to do, because it is time to bring forth. Now, I told you I'm going to come back to you and share it quick because time is running out. Now, Jesus' purpose for being on planet Earth was to help each one of us to overcome the fear of death, the fear of fear itself, okay? That was Jesus' main purpose. Jesus did not come on the planet Earth to die for your sins. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. Now, if you can't handle that, that's just the way it is. But he did not come to die for your sins. So, hey, guess what? You are responsible for your own errors. I don't even like to call them sins. I like to call them errors. You are responsible for bringing forth the things that you need to do. Okay? So Jesus did not come to die for your sins. So, hey, get up and do what you need to do and bring forth and take care of your own errors and mistakes. Okay? So, now, time has got away, and that's okay, too. Because it wound up right at perfect time. So, I want to wish each one of you a wonderful and positive day. See you next week for another great and marvelous show. I'm so glad that you showed up today, because we're going to continue to do this thing and take it to the top. Have a wonderful day.